This is Rabbi Yitzhak Klein, and we want to know about your recollections of Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal now.
Right.
You say he came to Lakewood in, you can speak, 1951?
1951.
From YU.
Right.
Okay, what level were you at in YU at that time?
I was in Rabbi Lipschitz's share.
Uh-huh. So
no, actually, at that time I was in backup by Rabbi Volk.
Volk.
Yeah. Let me tell you how I came to Lakewood.
Good.
Okay. Rosh Yeshiva came in June. Selfman, he came to be masbid. Chaim, one of Rav Chaim's sons, Rav Yoshebez, an uncle.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
This was in June of 1950.
Uh-huh.
And the Rosh Yeshiva came and it was masbid, and you took one look at the Rosh Yeshiva with his firedicker eyes. And that afternoon, I went up to his apartment. At that time, he was living in Riverside Drive.
Uh-huh.
And I went up there with Shmuel Blech.
Uh-huh.
And with, Usher Turin.
Usher who?
Turin.
Turin?
Turin.
Uh-huh. Where did you know Shmuel Blech from?
No, this is not the Shmuel Blech from it's a cousin.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's important to know. Because we assume that it was Shmuel Blech from Lakewood.
No, it was it's a cousin.
Uh-huh.
And so we went up to
Riverside.
The Rosh Yeshiva to say we'd like to come for the summer.
Uh-huh.
So we came for the summer, and I was learning with Blech, who was a very, very good boy.
Yeah.
And I was there for 6 weeks, and in those 6 weeks I learned more than I learned the Holzman.
Uh-huh.
So Lamaisa, Usher Turin went to Baltimore from Lakewood, because he was a shachar, he was in a lower grade.
Mm-hmm.
He was by Rabbi Bernstein, which was, when I was in YU, I was in Rabbi Gorelick, and then Rabbi Volk.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you said you were by Rabbi Lipschitz.
No, so what happened, after the summer, I wanted to go to Lakewood. My brother was a Musmuch from YU, and at that time he was in Chicago. I flew down from Chicago, schlepped me into Rabbi Belkin's office.
Yeah.
And we made a deal that I would only take 12 and a half credits instead of the 16 credits and go to Rabbi Lipschitz, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Lemaisa, after Pesach, I was back in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the 1951.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Lakewood in 51, there were a whole bunch of young fellows who came from Yaakov Yosef and from other Yishuv, from the Mir,
that came.
What?
Remember the names of the ones that were there at that time?
The boys that came?
Yeah.
Yitzchak Wasserman, Chaim Snyder, Sussner,
uh-huh.
I don't know who came from, and anyway, Rabban gave us Moshe Eisman, who later went to Weimann, gave us Moshe Eisman as a Rebbe,
right.
And we had shiurim from Moshe Eisman from 4 to 6,
mm-hmm.
the second Seder.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned. I had chavrusas there, Yitzchak Kurtzke.
Yeah.
Yaakov Herzl, Yaakov Pinchas Goralnik.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty.
What?
They're pretty advanced.
What?
These are pretty advanced people.
Yeah. So they, I learned with other guys also, but I learned with them for a number of years, on and off. Hertzkin and Guralnik, now, so you want to know about LeBron, right?
As much as possible.
What?
As much as possible.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say that the cover that the guys gave, when I came to Lakewood, there was still a lot of the Alta Kletzka there.
Yeah, like who?
Maslovati.
Yeah.
He used to say over the Rosh Hashiva this year.
Yeah.
Shmuel Kamenetsky was there. What's his name? Rosh Hashiva from Philadelphia was there.
Wal Yishrei.
And there were a couple other guys which names elude me right now. Elyaber Bloch. So it was a mixture of Yaakov Schiff was already there, and Label Hyman and Feilson, they were already there. Moshe Hirsch, you know who I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you mean the one from the Turkata?
Yeah.
Okay. There's another one.
That's Moshe Hillel.
Right.
He came later.
Right.
He was younger.
Right.
He came from the Mir.
Mm-hmm.
I think from the Mir. Yeah, I think he came from the Mir. I'm not sure. So I want to say was that the covet, that the respect, that the awe, that the Olam had for the Rosh Hashiva was,
yeah.
You know, Rosh Hashiva walked in, everyone stood up, like, you know, and the way the Rosh Hashiva davened, you know, all kind of shtick.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Simple.
Simple. He didn't, proper, you know, very glossant in the, And his shiurim were fire.
Mm.
His shiurim were fire.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone would interrupt him in the shiur, he would say, you know, play this Kensish Kansuris Ballast, you know. And I remember Moshe Eisman would say that once that every 4 years I ask the Rosh Hashiva the same kasha, and it gives me the same teretz.
What's the teretz?
What?
What's the teretz?
I don't know what the teretz was like, you know, but he thinks that with the Rosh Hashiva.
You remember some of the confrontations they had?
No, there weren't too many, because you really couldn't hack up the Rosh Hashiva in this year.
Because Ramesh Eisman, there's some stories.
Yeah, Ramesh Eisman did, and not too often, but I don't think. Now the other thing was with the Rosh Hashiva Shmuzin. I remember once the Panovich Rav came. The Rosh Hashiva was very. He was like the reason why he came to YU to give a hesped for Chaim's son, because he was very mechabed gedolim. So when a gadol passed away in Eretz Yisrael, the Rosh Hashiva would give a hesped. So I remember once the
Reb Chaim Brisker's son, right?
Reb Chaim Brisker's son.
Must have been quite old.
What?
Must have been quite an old man. No?
Yeah. Well, this was 1950.
Yeah, even then.
Right. So I remember the Panovich Rav came to be mastered.
Yeah.
And the Panovich Rav spoke for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosh Hashiva spoke for half an hour.
Yeah.
But the Rosh Yeshiva in his half an hour said like more than the Panovicharov said in his 2 hours. Even though he was an excellent speaker and you know, but the Rosh Yeshiva was what? The person and the commas that he said in the half an hour was more than he
was very intense.
He was
concentrated.
First of all, he spoke very fast.
Yeah.
But how could you assure him where you really had to hold cup.
Right.
And even the shmuzin, you had a hold cup, but I think the shmuzin, you didn't have to say over. You know, because everyone copped it. And the Ika was the Shurim, the Teichon was the Chashivas of Taira. Taira.
You mean the Shmuzin, not the Chashivas?
The Shmuzin. Even the Shmuzin in Elul.
Yeah.
Was also like Taira.
Uh-huh. That's the Ika.
The Ika is, you know, to learn Taira. And Simchas Taira, the I don't know what it is today because you have so many guys in the yeshiva. I can't be masik what a Simchas Taira looks like. But the Simchas Taira in Lakewood, I remember you had to wring out my suit.
Uh-huh. So intense.
What?
So it was so intense.
It was so intense, and before the last Sakafa, they give a clap, and the Rosh Yeshiva said a shmooze.
Uh-huh.
On Simchas Taira, which was like a Mayadik shmooze. And then the Rosh Yeshiva, we all ate in one dining room, and the Rosh Yeshiva Friday night ate in the dining room with the Bacham.
Uh-huh.
And the head table with the Chashev Bacham, that he spoke to, they spoke in learning with the Chashev Bacham there at the head table. Those who were listening, I mean at the other tables. But when it came to a yontif, when it was like Purim or Hanukkah or what, when you had like a mesiba, the Rosh Yeshiva would say over mises from the Goyim, from other Gedolim. That was his special time to say over from you know mises the Rav, I remember one Motzei Yom Kippur, most of the guys would. They would have coffee and cake, and they would leave.
Right.
And the one Yom Kippur I had a murderous headache after the tonus.
Yeah.
So I lay down. Yeah. And 10 o'clock there was a knock on the door. That there's a suit. You know, we had soup and chicken and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I sat at the table with the Rosh Yeshiva. I was there to sit at the table with the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah.
And he also said over mises from the Gedolim.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that vividly. It was such a warm and beautiful mises.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it happens that before the, about 2 years before, or 3 years before the Rosh Yeshiva got sick,
mm-hmm.
He was involved in a car accident.
Right.
Do you know about that?
I heard about it.
Yeah. He was coming home one winter night from New York, and Shia Director was driving the car.
Uh-huh.
And the car went in a skid, and he put his hand on the handle of the door handle, mm-hmm. and the door opened and he flew out.
Right.
And he broke his collarbone.
Uh-huh.
So while he was in the yeshiva, Dr. Zerazin, the fine Zerazin's father, had a house across the street from the Forest Avenue, called Forest Avenue. So he came to examine the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva was piercing blood in his urine. Mm. So besides the broken collarbone, so he said it's from the club.
Uh-huh.
But they took him to joint disease, and over there, they said they couldn't do anything about the collarbone, so he's not going to play baseball anymore. Uh-huh. You know, and after a year, you leave the collarbone as it is.
Uh-huh.
But, well, what do you do with the blood that's coming out the urine? Uh-huh. So, anyway, I was in, I and Uri Mandelbaum,
uh-huh.
And Barlowski,
yeah.
we were like Mishamish to Rosh Hashiva, uh-huh. in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I got thrown out of the hospital once because I was championing the nurses,
right.
You know, like, you know, come, you know, Rosh Hashiva this, Rosh Hashiva that. Uh-huh. So the doctor came in and he says, out, get out of the hospital, I don't want to see you.
Uh-huh.
And then he went to, in seclusion to Moshe Golding's house.
Mm-hmm.
On West 86th Street.
Is this Dora Golding's husband?
Yeah. No, a son.
A son.
Uh-huh. A son. He had the mother's apartment, which was a 12-room apartment.
Uh-huh.
And it was rent controlled.
Uh-huh.
So we were taking care of the Rosh Hashiva in that apartment. So what happened once, a mice said that the Rosh Hashiva developed a very high fever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they called that the bursting.
Yeah.
And the Rosh Hashiva was in very, you know, burning up with fever and felt very bad. He says, give me that to Shlokin.
Yeah.
So he gave him a powder to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and he slept through the night,
mm-hmm.
and he got up 10 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and he started giving us the business. Why didn't you wake me, Zman Krishma, Gevalt,
mm-hmm.
Geshegen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, did we get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there he went to Columbia Presbyterian, because he was still passing blood through,
mm-hmm.
the,
mm-hmm.
through the urine.
Mm-hmm.
So every day, one Friday night, I was to be there with him, and at that time, Moshe Golding had a takeout place, and he supplied us with kugel and with chicken, and
mm-hmm.
It was very geschmack. And I was singing Zmiris for the Rosh Hashiva.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a Chassidish Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another Chassidish Rav that came, who was also in the hospital, and came to the University of the Rosh Hashiva.
So your private Shabbos in the hospital itself?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We stood there overnight,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in the morning another crew came, and we went to get the later minion to Davin.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, she was in the hospital over Shabbos, and so they were giving tests for the Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah.
They wanted to operate. They said it was kidney stones.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he's passing blood. And they were giving him water to drink, perhaps the kidney stones would go out.
Yes.
They gave him a lot of ginger ale to drink, that the kidney stones should go out. And every day they would take x-rays.
Uh-huh.
to operate, and they couldn't find the kidney stones. And then finally they called in an Altagoy, who was the head of urology in the hospital. And he said, it's not kidney stones, it's from the clot that he got in the accident. And they were ready to operate a number of times.
And Zurayvin was right.
And what happened was that a day later, this doctor was nifted. So they said, like, you know, like, it was a nift in the Shemaim. They were ready to operate to remove kidney stones. And this doctor came and said, it's not kidney stones, it's from the clot. And the next day he passed away. So this was shortly, I was in the yeshiva from 51 to 58. And then I got married and I left. I didn't learn in the Kollel.
You were just in the yeshiva.
What?
What did you do afterwards?
Afterwards I worked for a while for the yeshiva. I was like the Rosh Yeshivas during when they were building the new, I don't know, the
new building,
the old new building, the building on 6th Street.
Well, that's
on 7th Street.
They're building a building on 7th Street. Oh, yeah, was that a hotel?
It was in between 6th and 7th, where the old building was. It was next to the old building. So they were building a building there.
Oh, I didn't know.
And in the middle of that, so I was in the office helping in the building campaign.
That's not the building. You mean the main base medrash?
The main base medrash.
Oh, you call that the old building?
Well, I mean, there are new base medrashes.
I understand, but like, I can't think of anything else. I said all the rest are new, but to me they're like annexes to that, even though that's smaller than all of them. But
right. Yeah, what do they call it?
Something like Ayashin. Yeah,
what?
Right. Yeah. Oh, they call it the main base medrash. They still call it that.
The Yashin, right?
Yeah, right. They call it the Yashin.
Yeah. Now, the Rosh Yeshiva never wanted... The whole building cost $250,000in those days.
Wow.
And the Rosh Yeshiva didn't want the Shumayzen to take out a mortgage.
He wanted it all paid.
It was all paid for.
Who financed it?
What?
Who was actually money people?
Money people, you had, the Misaskim were Irving Bunim, and Joe Shapiro, and Ben Time, and those were like the Balabatim. She was very Mechabed Balabatim. Very Mechabed Balabatim. When I was working with the yeshiva,
is the story about the portrayal of the picture of the building that he didn't want?
There was a maisa. One day we were in the basement, Ish Bein Hastaran, and an old man comes in with a chauffeur-driven car. And he says, I got a letter from the yeshiva that they need money for a building. The man's name was Moses Hess.
From the Hess Oil Company?
From Hess Oil. So he right away, I happened to be in the basement at that time, right away, you know, we spoke to the Rosh Yeshiva, and he gave $10,000. And he wanted to give more money, but he wanted to, that they should make a slanty roof. And the Rosh Yeshiva says, we already have the plans, you know, and a slanty roof will cost more money, and this, but he this man believed in a slanty roof.
I understand. It makes sense.
What?
A slanty roof makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because
so,
the water doesn't come in.
What?
The water doesn't come
in. So the water doesn't come in, right?
Right.
Right. So, anyway, I don't know whether he gave them the money or not, but that's what they made the flat roof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of who, that other gentleman that we once brought to Lakewood with Robert Tsiviak,
yeah.
And Mervyn Bunim, and Jacob, what's his name?
Jacob?
I forgot the name. It'll come to me. Anyway, so I left the yeshiva before the Rosh Yeshiva got his final sickness, and I was working for the yeshiva, and then I left, and at that time. When the Rosh Yeshiva got sick, I was working for Terebra Das on their dinner. And Rosh Yeshiva was nifta, and I got a call from Yankel Weisberg to come back and work on the Kaisa Nefesh campaign.
Kaisa Nefesh?
Yeah, there was a campaign for $18.
Yeah.
That Kaisa Nefesh, $18. We got lists from all the yeshivas. Like we got our lists from Tzvez Yerushalayim, but it went to a box number that we shouldn't know who were the guys that. In other words, we never saw the list and we never saw who gave the money.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want us to steal their balabatim, but they gave us the list.
Uh-huh.
So I was working on that campaign. I got, you know, and then I arranged for the summertime for appeals in bungalow colonies and whatnot. And then the summertime, it got slow and I left.
Did you ever graduate, were you?
I got one of these honorary degrees with, you know, I had 78 credits plus my smicha, but I never I started going to graduate school, but in the middle.
In what subject?
For a degree in education.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle, I get a call from Rabbi Belsky from Torah Mesorah,
not Rabbi Saul Belsky.
No. That there's a yeshiva. They want to build a yeshiva in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
So I should go down to New Orleans and put together the yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
So I went down to New Orleans for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the yeshiva started, and this Belsky went to New Orleans as a rav.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what can I tell you?
Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's basically the story. What are you doing now?
Right now, I'm for the past 12 years, but I've been learning in the Kollel of Reichem in Far Rockaway.
Reichman has a Kollel on the far end?
No, a Kollel of Reichem.
Reichman.
Yeah, Reichman is the Reich Kollel. The Kollel started with Fidel Cohn.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, for 14 years, I was director of the Jewish Community Council of the Rockaways.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I was winding down, and Fidel opened the Kollel, so... I made a deal that I'd only work 20 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
and so half a day I learned in the Kollel, and then after 2 years I went full time into the Kollel.
Very good. So now you're in the Kollel.
Now I'm in the Kollel. I didn't learn in the Lakewood Kollel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I learned 7 years in Lakewood. I didn't learn in the Kailua. Mm-hmm. Now I'm learning 12 years in this Kailua.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get paid. They won't want to pay me. My wife said no. My wife is working, and she says, I don't want to take any money from the Kailua.
Mm-hmm. Good. Very good. That sounds very good to me. Okay, so thank you very much for your recollection.
Anything else you want to know?
I don't know. I wish I knew what I wanted to know, because all I just want to get is the impressions of the people that were here and putting them all together. So it makes a big work of everybody together. You see the same thing from a slightly different angle. It enriches the picture and makes it more real.
Yeah, while I was there, I learned with Rav Moshe, about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he opened the...
In Vineland.
And I came, Ellen's when he opened in Vineland, I came to the yeshiva in Ellen, and the guys told me that Rav Moshe opened the yeshiva in Vineland, and he needs Bochum.
Mm.
So I went into the Rosh Yeshiva, and I said, I would like to go to Vineland to help Ramesh.
Yeah.
So I went for the Elulzman.
Mm-hmm.
But after the Elulzman, I told Ramesh, next month is Baba Kama, and I never learned Baba Kama.
I mean, where, here or there?
What?
You say,
no, in Lakewood.
They're going to learn Baba Kama in Lakewood.
They're going to learn Baba Kama in Lakewood. Uh-huh. And I said, and I never learned Baba Kama. Uh-huh. The other mistake is I learned in Lakewood, but I never learned Baba
uh-huh.
Kama.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, 3.5 years I was in the yeshiva, and then I went back to and that was one in Vineland, and then I went back to Lakewood.
Uh-huh. So how long were you in Vineland?
Just for the Elul's one.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. My last man in Lakewood, I became a chosen.
Uh-huh.
And it was my best man.
Uh-huh.
I was learning with Yossel Kaufman in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And the Ventam Gitzitit.
From him?
No, he learned with me in the morning and with Moshe Mendelwitz in the afternoon.
Uh-huh, okay.
And we were Megala Yossel Kaufman.
You were Megala?
Yeah, but everybody thought Yossel Kaufman is our Bartolin, of America, this and that. But we put a fire under him.
He was very in awe. I interviewed him. I know him a long time, but he was very, very in awe of the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was in awe of the Rosh
Yeshiva. I have an interview. He mamash gitzitit. Even after, what I was talking about, he got like so excited.
I mean, I was mishamish the Rosh Yeshiva when I was working. Besides that, even before the hospital, I was in Shamish. One year in the early 50s, there was a flu epidemic in the Elulzman.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into New York and I went to the Board of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got a school with 100 boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, I'm sorry, it's either too late or we don't have. So I went back to the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
I told the yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, I went to get, and I couldn't get. So he asked me, how come you came back? So I'm following in the mind that, everybody was sick.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how come you came back? Aren't you afraid you're going to get sick?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't get sick.
You did or didn't?
I did not.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the yeshiva got sick except me, Brzezowski, Yudel Jacobs,
uh-huh.
and Uri Mandelbaum.
Uh-huh.
And we were mishamish the whole yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
We cooked. the cooks were sick. We cooked, we served, mm-hmm. we brought the medicine, we washed them down. And that Elul, that Yom Kippur, actually wasn't Elul, it was like a Sesi Mechuvah when the epidemic hit. Mm-hmm. That Yom Kippur, they had two minyanim, one at 617 6th Street,
yeah.
in the old building where the Rosh Yeshiva slept,
mm-hmm.
in the dining room. Downstairs, next to the dining room, there was like a little base bedrash.
Mm-hmm.
And then the regular yeshiva. And so we davened there. And when I came home, Mitzray Yom Kippur, or Yudel Jacobs got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I came home with Mitzray Yom Kippur, and I slept like a whole day. The first time I didn't put up the sukkah, my father put up the sukkah.
Because
mm-hmm. I was wiped out.
Where were you living?
I was living in Brownsville.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so that was another time that I was... what should I write? The cook in Lakewood, we got a
what was the cook's name?
Well, we had two almanas that were cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Two almanas that were cooks. And the ksubis man I was learning with Chatzka Lichtman at night.
Chatzka? Who?
Chatzka Lichtman.
Lichtman, yeah.
Lichtman.
Yeah.
I was learning with him at night, and came Purim time, my stomach wasn't in uproar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I went home and I went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor, this was a Friday, and the doctor took x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're going to have to come tomorrow to take another x-ray. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not coming tomorrow on
yeah.
Shabbos.
Yeah.
So, all right, he said, okay, you come Sunday, we'll have to take it over again. So I came back Sunday, he says, you didn't have to take it, your stomach was working so fast that and he gave me some pills, and over Pesach, with my mother's cooking, Baruch Hashem, I was feeling better. But we had what was called a milchik chabura.
A milchik chabura.
Shabbos morning, we ate up in Rav Nosson's room,
mm-hmm.
and we had bananas and cornflakes and cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That was the milk of the chabura, because we couldn't take the food
mm-hmm.
in the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
But then we got Hungarian cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they're good cooks, Hungarians.
Yeah, so all the guys from the Milch HaGibura were lining up for doubles in Chalent and Kishka mm-hmm. and Chop Liver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very close with Avram, Avram Shachner Zucker, Oliver Shalom. Avram Shachner Zucker.
Okay.
He was a young man learning in the Kollel, and he was Nista at age 27.
Right.
So, but I was very close, and Zucker's Hotel, his parents ran Zucker's Hotel.
Uh-huh.
So he and I were like the go-betweens between the cook and the bachram.
Mm-hmm.
So the cook called me Yitzchak Klein, Chevrim is Zaynus Gaba de Satmar.
What did he call you?
Yitzchak Klein, Chevrim is Zaynus Gaba de Satmar.
Where did Satmar come into it?
What? Because he was a Satmar. So
okay.
He called me Yitzchak Klein because there was a Yitzchak Klein Chevrim is Zaynus Gaba from Satmar.
Oh, there was such a person.
Yeah, there was such a guy.
Uh-huh.
So there was. We got a bunch of farm from a Goldstein. A Goldstein, they used to have a hotel in Lakewood.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah,
father
yeah.
was Mr.,
sure.
so he had, he was a former
year. Basal Goldstein.
Yeah. So we got farm, and I found a safer. It says, Zera Seifer Karnisi in the Yitzchak Klein, Chevrim is Zaynus Gaba de Satmar. So I showed it to the cook, and he said the guy who bought it was his uncle. So I gave him the sefer. But anyway, besides that, I was Gabbai Tat.
In the yeshiva.
In the yeshiva. And we put a Pepsi machine into the outside of the dining room. And we raised a lot of money from the Pepsi machine. And then I would go and during the summer we'd take the boys to Camp Morris, to Zucker's Hotel, to Cole Arena, and I would raise money. We had a budget like $5,000. Those days was a lot of money.
That was a lot of money.
So well, we'd send the guys for a week to camp or to Zucker's Hotel, and then I would buy them suits for Pesach, the Yontif. And there were two Bachlim that came from Zunderland. They were originally from Tangiers. Then they learned in England. And they came to Lakewood. They wrote the Rosh Hashiva that they want to come to Lakewood. Yeah. And the Rosh Hashiva said, okay. Edry.
Oh, I know. That's somebody I have to look up.
Right. They came and they didn't have mamish any money, so I paid them to take care of the machine, of the Pepsi machine.
Yeah.
You know, put in the new bottles, take out the old bottles, you know, and this way they had spending money.
Do you know where these Edries are?
What?
Where are they now?
One of them, they opened up Beis Yaakov in Montreal for Sephardic girls. One of them was Nifter. And the other one is a Rav now in Rio de Janeiro or in Brazil or Argentina. I don't know. And the one who was Nifter has a son in Lawrence, in Far Rockaway, Michael Edry. I met them when they came off the boat. I met them and took them to the yeshiva.
How'd they know to come to Lakewood from
Tennessee? They knew. Also, Meister Shehaya, they told the Rosh Yeshiva after a few months that they think they have to go back because they're not comfortable, because in the yeshiva they're language tenders, and they're not really used to learning with tenders. They used to learning with a table. So she says, well, so put in a table. I think the table is out of Yom in the yeshiva.
Oh, yeah? Where is it?
Yeah. If you go into the old basement, you'll see a table.
There is a table. Now
there are a lot of tables, I think.
You mean the back? There's a long table in the middle.
Yeah.
I never thought about that table. One iota. I never thought about it. It's interesting that table has significance. See that? You have to tell me that. That's something. Now I look at the table differently. Because that table was always there. I didn't know that meant anything. Yeah. Not even think about why is there a table in the base bedroom.
No, another
mice.
I was recently at a
chasna. I assume it's there. I think maybe it's not there anymore.
Maybe it's a replacement, but I met Rabbi Zuckerman.
Which one?
What?
Which one? There's two, right?
The one who's a Rav in the Gura in Flatbush.
You're right.
Yeah. So he told me, I forgot the mice, that he went to the Rosh Hashiva. He says he wants to leave early because he has a job. He says, what do you mean you have a job? He says, I need to buy clothing for Pesach and this and that. So he says, go see. And then the Rosh Hashiva called me Itchaber. Go see Itchaber. And he'll give you it. And the Rosh Hashiva told me to give him a check. And he says, I don't want you to go work. He says, you have to sit and learn, and we'll pay for the
Chaber who?
What?
Who's the Chaber? You?
I'm the Chaber. Oh, well, my name is Yitzchak Dov. When we came to the yeshiva, I came with Chatzka Lichtman, right, and with Chaim Snyder. We were friends. We grew up together.
He's Snyder from Chicago.
What?
Chaim Snyder's in Chicago.
No.
Where is he?
He's in Borough Park.
Maybe I did interview him. I forgot.
They called me Irving.
Irving, here's your question. Somebody told me the story that he used to give out money for boys going on dates. Do you remember that?
No. Who was that?
I'm not sure. I think it was Chatzka Lichtman.
Yeah, it could be. But that was probably after I left.
And he said... And I think he said, I don't have this on the tape, but he said, when he didn't want the money, he said, I don't need the money, so Rabban told him, he says, I'm with Dav Zayin of sport.
Right.
You ever heard that?
It could be, yeah.
You heard this.
I think so. I was very close to Chatzka Lichtman because the last 10 years, he lived like mamish down the block from me.
In Far Rockaway.
And we used to daven by Rabbi Brown in the morning. And after the davening, we would walk home. Mm-hmm. And we'd stay for half an hour on the corner talking.
Uh-huh. So thank you very much.